Lights, camera, on action, Bronson. I'm too sick for concerts. I get sick of being whack, so I just spit on sponsors. If I ever get a girlfriend, I just hold her hostage. That was a joke, though. But Blossom's booty make the world go around. I'm the oddball in a circle now. I need 5K just to work right now. And people probably think I'm all purple. Wow. Fall in love enough that I could hurt the ground. My broken heart's the new Mozart and makes the perfect sound. I work aloud when working, cause I work with sound. She work it, work it, work it. I get nervous and it hurts my sales.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Sambo Slim. You are listening to the Sambo Slim podcast. The website, www.thesamboslimpodcast.com. Twitter handle, @Sambo_Slim. Good to see everybody again. Hopefully you're happy to hear from me again. It's been a while. What we decided to do was take a break from shows until the new website was out. The website is out now, so you can now stream the Sambo Slim podcast from any device, and it'll work. And then you can also still go to iTunes and still go to Podomatic and reach those outlets from my website. But the best thing is, all you got to do is go to thesamboslimpodcast.com. I'd name all the devices you can listen to, but I'm assuming, unlike Ramrod in a previous show, when I say you can listen on all devices, he goes, what about Kindle? I said all devices, right? So you can listen from all devices. There's no need for me to name all the devices. Ramrod. You're lucky I haven't fired you yet. So, yeah, we're back. The music you listen to in the intro is, that's by Mouse Sucks. He's the artist. That single is off Yvette of the Debbies. He's a 20-year-old psychedelic punk artist. He's producing his own album called Lacey's Forehead, which comes out in August. You could check his music out on www.mousy.bandcamp.com. And so appreciate you sending your music in, Mouse Sucks. Indie artist out there, keep sending your music into me, and I'll keep playing it on my show. I appreciate that. Yeah, getting a lot of good creative content in. I have months worth of music, so if you want to get your stuff in, I play it by the order in which it's received. So I encourage you to send it in as soon as possible. At the end of the podcast, you're going to hear music by, and I don't know how to pronounce this. I don't know if it's Razak or Risk or just R-S-K, but it's R, lowercase s, uppercase A, I'm sorry, R, capital R, lowercase s, capital K. That's the name of the artist. You can get their music at www.soundcloud.com /RSK is music. All right, so that'll be the music you hear at the end of the podcast, because it won't be live when we close out. This is actually a special episode. I'm bringing you guys an interview with the great Jim Harold from the paranormal world. He is the biggest paranormal podcaster out there. He's had a number one selling book in the paranormal category on Kindle. He's got two books out right now, and you'll get all the information when I play the interview, so I don't want to kill you with all of it. But it's Jim Harold. My paranormal podcast that I did in October for, we called it Scary Shit Month. I know you guys are really into paranormal, because a lot of you are, because I got a lot of ghost stories to read during those months, and I got a lot of great feedback and a lot of great interaction. They weren't the shows that had the most listens, but they still had enough listens, but they definitely got the most interaction and the most feedback from you all. And the most, sometimes we ask, send us in your stories about things you're complaining that you want to complain about, or, well, we love angry rants and we love gripe sessions. And but the most we ever got in, I mean, we couldn't even read them all, were scary stories. So I know you guys are interested in paranormal stuff, so I wanted to bring this special show to you. I got Jim, I don't know why he agreed to do this, but he agreed to do it, an interview with me. Hopefully I did well, or I did well enough. Hope I know it's interesting. We talked about a lot of good stuff on it. So enjoy and look forward to more interviews in the future, because I want to change things up for you guys. I listen to a lot of podcasts. That's really all I listen to. I don't listen to the radio. I don't watch TV too much. But I do listen to podcasts, and I do like, I try to bring you what I enjoy about podcasts I listen to. And I like when, I don't like to hear the same thing over and over and over. I like to change things up. So every once in a while, I'm going to do something different for you guys like I did today. And today I'm bringing you an interview, and I will bring you more interviews. And if there are people that you want to hear me interview, let me know, and I will contact them and see if they will come on my show. Now, the weird thing is I've asked smaller people, like people that aren't even a big deal. My show is bigger than their show, you know, and they I don't know why they won't come on the podcast. I think they think that I'm going to make fun of them or something. I'm not. Just like I told you with the music you send in, I'm not going to critique it. I'm not going to make fun of it. I'm going to play it, because you're doing me a favor by sending your music in, and you're brave enough to send your music in. I'm just going to play it. And just like if you're good enough of a person, or you think highly enough of me, or maybe you just don't know any better and you come on my show, well, I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to tease you. I'm not going to question you. I mean, unless you challenge me. Well, yeah, then we'll get into it. But if you just want to come on and you want me to interview you, you want to get some information out there, I'll do that for you. You scratch my back, I will scratch yours. So if you know somebody out there that wants to do an interview with me, they want to come on the Sambo Slim podcast, let me know. Tell them to contact me, samboslimpodcast@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter, or give me their information. I'll contact them. So don't forget about the Amazon banner at my website. It's different now. Remember, you used to go on, and I appreciate everybody who uses my Amazon banner. Of course, you allowed me you basically paid for a professional quality studio for me through my Amazon banner. Before, I had nothing. I just had a, you know, what you pictured, me in my mom's basement, was probably pretty close to the way the podcast started out. But now I've got multiple headsets. I could have four people in studio and it would sound great. I can have people call in, everything because of you supporting me through my Amazon banner. So thank you, everyone. But continue to do that. The game's not over yet, guys. I want a studio outside of my house, you know, because sometimes we act like jackasses here. I got Ramrod in here. We're talking about when we were young and dumb and our sexual conquests and exploits. And the kids are sitting right there, man. The kids are sitting right there. They're hearing this. So, oh yeah, and the other thing we want is I don't want to work full-time. I want to be a full-time podcaster. So, I was contacted by another partner, a potential partner to the show. So that's an additional way that this podcast can get bigger. And I'm going to go ahead and do that, but I'm not going to announce who it is until I actually sign the dotted line. So it is getting bigger, and a lot of that is because you guys listen. A lot of you support me. Again, through the Amazon banner. It's in a different place now. The Amazon banner is now at the bottom of the website. Remember, it was at the top, right under the header above episodes. Now you scroll all the way to the bottom. Whatever, if you're on your computer, you'll see it at the bottom. And it's all the way to the left. We're trying to figure out how to center it right now, but it's all the way to the left. But on your phone, when you scroll down, it's centered right in the middle. Amazon banner. So anytime you're going to buy anything on Amazon, just go to the samboslimpodcast.com. This is a great way to support the show. Scroll down to the bottom, click on the Amazon banner on my website. That will take you to Amazon's homepage, and then you do your shopping. All right. You're going to hear that Jim Harold, the person who I am interviewing, he has a Kindle book. Two Kindle books, and he has one more coming out, so we'll have him back on the show whenever his new book comes out. You get to Kindle through Amazon. So how about this? How about when you listen to the interview, and after that, you should buy Jim Harold's book. And to buy that book, go to my website, click on the Amazon banner, and then purchase Jim's Kindle book. How's that? You just supported both of us. You know what you did? For me, you potentially saved mine and Mel's kids from listening to me and Ramrod talking about our sexual exploits and our conquests as when we were young and dumb, not now. I'm in a happy relationship, okay? Not anymore. But they hear that stuff, all right? Save us from that. Save the kids from that. We need our own studio outside of the house. We got great equipment. The studio's in my house. I want the studio out of my house. Kids, what are you looking at? Go play somewhere. Thank you. Now, before we start the interview, obviously, if you've been listening to my show this whole time, I've had people on and they've been co-hosts, right? I haven't done a real interview yet, so it feels good to get the first official The Sambo Slim Podcast interview in and have it behind me, because I will tell you this, it was stressful, and Jim agreed to do the interview with me, I'd say about 2 months ago, and it just took a while for us to actually pin down a time where we could both meet and we could get the interview done. But if you know anything about me, I'm a pessimist, and I always expect the worst. And so all of these scenarios kept playing out in my head in the couple of months leading up to this interview. And Jim is the nicest guy in the world. When I listen to his podcast, he's just so calm, soothing, you know, probably one of the most relaxed, peaceful sounding podcasters you're going to listen to. It's nice. And I can't picture him being a jerk, but I always expect the worst. So I think maybe that's just the way he acts on his podcast, but in real life, man, he could be the biggest jerk in the world. And you know, so the main thing, because this was my first interview and I was so worried about screwing up, is that I would kind of come across like this.
Idiot! God, so stupid. What a dumb question.
You know, that was my worst, one of my worst fears going into it is that would happen. You know, I'd just break down and freak out and, you know, just Chris Farley, the whole thing. I didn't want it to turn into the Chris Farley show, if you remember those from Saturday Night Live. The other thing I was worried about is that I would get this from Jim.
The fuck are you doing?
You know, and thankfully, neither of those things happened. I'm happy with the way the interview turned out. Again, I thank Jim and I really appreciate him for coming out on taking the time to do the interview with me. And a personal victory of mine was that neither of those things happened. I didn't Chris Farley it, and Jim didn't go Christian Bale on me. So I'm happy. That's all I could ask for, because I was so stressed out in the couple of months leading up to this interview. I think the only other nightmare I had going into it, and the thing is, in my head, these things are going to happen. Like, I start the interview with Jim, and in my brain, those two things will happen. That's the reality to me. The other thing is that at some point, Jim was going to go, what is this, amateur hour? And I don't know what I would do. I would be devastated. I probably wouldn't know what to say after that. You know, that was a huge fear of mine, that I just get the, what is this, amateur hour? But it didn't happen. I think it went well. So here's the interview in its entirety. Enjoy, everyone. Here is my interview with the number one paranormal podcaster, leading paranormal expert, and best-selling paranormal author, Jim Harold. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Sambo Slim Podcast. I've got a special treat for everyone today. I've kind of teased about it in the past, but I didn't tell anyone who it was because I wanted to make sure it really was going to happen. So I have with me today Jim Harold. He's the host of the Paranormal Podcast. And also Jim Harold's campfire. His website is jimharold.com. And he's also an author, Jim Harold's Campfire, True Ghost Stories, and True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 2. which is a Kindle number one bestseller, and JimHerald.com programs have been downloaded over 12 million times since 2010. You can also email him at JimHerald.com. And you have a Twitter as well, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, it's a little more complicated. By the way, thanks for having me on the show. It's Paranormal PDCST. That's short for Paranormal Podcast. That's Paranormal PDCST. And if they want to find that, it's easily accessible over at my website at JimHerald.com.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jim. And again, thanks for coming on to the Sambo Slim podcast. Let's get right into the interview. Well, unless there's anything else you wanted to add, is there anything else you wanted to promote before we get started?
No, we'll talk about it during the course of the interview, but I'm just glad to be on the show and love to talk about the paranormal. And Sambo, thank you for inviting me on the program.
Okay. Yeah, my pleasure. I guess just to get started, I listen to your show pretty frequently, and it's awesome, let you know that. So it sounds like you're a full-time podcaster, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
What made you decide to go that route? You have a master's in communications.
Basically, my story is that I started out, well, first of all, I had a lot of different interests, like a lot of kids, but two big interests I had were broadcasting and the paranormal.
Okay.
This goes back to, I'm in my mid-40s. This goes back to the 70s when I was a little kid. And I remember my mom used to say, I used to go around the house with a flashlight saying, I'm Bob Barker. I'm Bob Barker. So I always loved broadcasting, okay? I always loved the paranormal. I remember being a kid and reading up on the Bermuda Triangle. And, of course, probably the thing that was most influential on me was the TV series In Search Of, if folks remember that from Leonard Nimoy. So I always had this long and abiding love of the paranormal. And I ended up going to school for broadcasting and ended up working in media, but working on the business side and got my master's and so forth. And it always irritated me. Gee, I never really became a broadcaster. It was really just a kind of a bugaboo with me because I felt that it was something that had things worked out differently, I could have done and excelled at. So anyway, and I was always a big fan of talk radio. So as the internet matured and you could listen to radio shows on the internet, I started listening to a lot of talk shows. And there was this one guy by the name of Leo Laporte, who I loved when he was on Tech TV. I thought he was just the cat's meow. I thought there was a cable channel that was focused on tech, and I had lost touch with him. I'm like, well, look, in terms of following what he did, because he was off the air off of TV. I said, I'll bet he's got a website, and I bet he's got like a talk show or something, so I'll check in. So I Googled him one day, and I started listening to his streaming talk show from KFI out of, I think, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and or San Francisco. I can never remember which city. Okay. And then he said, well, you can also get this as a podcast that you can listen to anytime you want. And this was before podcasts were even on iTunes or before any of that. And I said, oh, that is so cool. That is so neat. And then I started listening to him. And then I heard about other podcasts like Adam Curry, the old MTV VJ, had a podcast. I'm like, podcasting, this is interesting. This is neat what these guys are doing. And then I listened a little more specifically to Adam Curry, I think. And again, this is back in 2005. Mm-hmm. So we're talking almost 10 years ago, 9 years ago. And I remember him saying, oh, people are doing this all over. They're doing it as a hobby. They're doing homegrown radio shows.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I could never do this because, you know, Adam Curry and Leo Laporte and people like that, they're really great broadcasters. I couldn't do it. And then I listened to some of the ones that people did at home. And I said, well, I might not be able to do what Leo or Adam do, but I can do that. And I think I can even do a little bit better than some of those homegrown ones. So then came the idea, and this circles back around to your question. I'm sorry I'm long-winded, but...
Oh, no, it's fine.
But basically, I thought, well, what in the world am I going to podcast on? I said, you know, I love the paranormal. Later in life, I became really interested in tech and computers and stuff. So that worked out because I understood technology. And like the third piece of this is, what am I going to podcast on? Okay. And I started to think about, well, what's the first thing if I go into a bookstore, I go into a library, I surf on the internet, I tune in the cable stations, what kind of shows, what kind of books, what kind of content am I interested in? What subject matter am I interested in?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of a few things. Sports, well, you know, I'm not going to add anything there. Politics, I'm not going to add anything there. Music, you can't do on a podcast. And I'm like, you know, the one thing that interests me, and I'd love to do a show where we talk about this seriously, because I don't like the way it's treated, is the paranormal. So I started in 2005, my first episode, and I thought, this will be great. And Sambo, this is kind of funny, I think. I thought, oh, this will be fantastic because, you know, I'll do this for 6 months. I'll talk to all these authors. Not only will I get the podcast, but I'll have all this UFO and ghost, all this stuff figured out because I'll talk to these people who know all the answers.
Right.
Well, the truth is 9 years later, I don't know all the answers. In fact, I have many, many more questions than I had when I started.
Okay.
But I love doing what I do and have been doing it for full time almost 2 years now. And it's been a joy. So 9 years podcasting and two of them full time.
Sounds like you've been interested in paranormal since you were a kid and you really wanted to get into broadcasting, and you did both of those. So congratulations on that.
And yeah, it's exciting. And I thank my listeners every day because they're the people that make this possible. And we're not a big media company or anything like that, but we're eking out a living and providing some people some information to ponder and hopefully some enjoyment.
And so, Jim, so you do deal with paranormal, and pretty much every show you interview somebody who's either an author who's written about their paranormal experience or somebody who's an expert in a certain paranormal field. But yourself, do you consider yourself a believer or a skeptic? What would you categorize yourself as?
A skeptical believer. How about that? Here's my philosophy, and I've said this many times on the show, so it's not like I say one thing on my shows and something else when I'm in another venue.
Mm-hmm.
As I've told my audience before, I think a large percentage of paranormal phenomena are probably explicable. They could be people who are very well-meaning, but are just mistaken, maybe seeing what they want to see. You know, in terms of UFOs, it could be heavenly bodies that they're being mistaken. It could be military aircraft in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ghosts, you know, people have loved ones who passed away. I experienced that last year, some devastating losses. And I know that I would, if it were the right kind of experience, I'd love to have a communication. So who knows, maybe someone can almost cause that to happen or maybe imagine it. Maybe alien abduction is just, in most cases, night paralysis. But I think there are enough cases where all of those things have been ruled out,
mm-hmm.
and there's still no explanation. So I firmly believe that there's something going on more than what current science understands. And it may be, and I've said this many times, the explanation might be scientific, but it might be the science of the 25th century. We're just not tapped in. I always use the example of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100 years ago, nobody knew about DNA, but that didn't mean it didn't exist. We just didn't know about it.
Right. Do you have a favorite sort of paranormal subject or even maybe a character? Like, do you enjoy talking about UFOs more than Bigfoot, or do you like, I don't know, demonology the best? Like, what would you consider your favorite subject to talk about?
Well, I'm always fascinated in UFOs and ghosts, but I've got to say and this kind of ties into ghosts. My biggest question, and one that I still don't think that I've totally answered, is the question of the afterlife, near-death experiences, those types of things. I tend to be one of those people who believes that we go on after we die in some form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have that metaphysical certitude that I can say it's this or that, but to me, it would seem all kind of pointless if we're just here for 70 years, you know, average lifespan, 70, 75 years, and all that work and all the knowledge that we've gained and everything that we've done just kind of goes poof. I don't believe that. And I think there are enough interesting cases, whether you're talking about near-death experiences, whether you're talking about children who can recall things that they shouldn't know from, quote, a possible past life. Whatever it is, I think there is something. Again, like most of these topics, I'm open to many different explanations, but I've not set myself on one. Just the fact that I believe that there's it. So that's probably my number one subject. UFOs, I've always been fascinated with those. And again, I think the vast majority of those are probably totally explicable. but there are some fascinating cases out there that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are probably my top two. I do have some interest in cryptozoology, and we do cover that. I tend to be very skeptical about, you know, the Bigfoot YouTube videos and those kind of things. It's interesting because I had always been very keen and interested about videos, paranormal videos. And a few years ago, I used to do a video podcast called The Paranormal Report. It was a free podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a weekly show where we looked at videos and so forth. Now, we're recording this on May 2nd. I'm not sure when it's going to be released, but in about a week, I'm going to be relaunching that show, and we're going to continue to look at different paranormal videos and talk about them and what our thoughts are, me and my co-host, Mike Hanks.
Okay.
I guess what I was going to say is that I used to be very interested in paranormal videos, and I thought, oh, there's a picture of the UFO. Now as I've become more exposed to them, my default position is they're probably, most of them are probably fake, but that doesn't mean they're all fake. And that's the thing that I get into kind of an argument with the hardcore skeptics. And there's nothing wrong with being, to me, the best position is being open-minded yet skeptical. And that's kind of how I consider myself.
Okay.
But when you say, none of this stuff is real, it's all BS,
mm-hmm.
That bugs me. That bugs me when you're not opening up, because there's some darn good cases from some pretty darn reliable people about things that they saw, they've experienced, and the standard explanations don't fly in those cases. And so why not? Let's take a look at those. And so I guess that's my message to the skeptics is, we probably agree 90% of the time, but what about that other percentage? Why can't you look at these things seriously?
Okay. The Malaysian plane that disappeared, you brought up UFOs a few times. I know I've heard that theory before. Do you have any mm-hmm. kind of theories or ideas on what might have happened there?
I really don't. I will say at first I was leaning towards some kind of conspiracy or hijacking. First of all, the first thing that I'd say about it is just a horrible tragedy. I feel so badly for those families who were impacted.
Right.
I personally don't believe it's aliens or a mass abduction or anything like that. My concern was it was some type of hijacking, or perhaps somebody took the plane to utilize it in some nefarious way in the future. That was kind of my first thought. My next thought is you know, sometimes, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is probably the best one. And I think probably the highest probability is that it's crashed somewhere and it's deep, deep down in the sea. And the sea, the ocean, is a very, very big place.
Right.
And a very, very deep place. So I kind of think that, but I still have a little bit of doubt in my mind, wondering if somebody took that plane and had some nefarious plans for it. I hope, you know, it's a tough thing, because what do you say? You say, well, maybe if that happened, those people are alive, but I think that as well. But I just think it's a real tragedy. I don't think that there's a paranormal explanation for it. I think it's something terrestrial.
Yeah, and I lean that way too. I think the ocean's a huge place. I agree with you on both of those theories. Either I think it landed in the ocean somewhere and we just can't find it. You know, at the rate of speed it would have hit the ocean, it could have gone
right.
I mean, so deep we can't track it. Yeah, or yeah, it was hijacked and who knows where it's at now.
Yeah, that's a scary thought too, because not only do you have those poor souls that were on the plane.
Right.
If that did happen and somebody has that plane, you've got to think they plan to do something with it. I, as time goes on, I'm less likely to believe that, because I would assume, and I also do a conspiracy show on my Plus Club. I have a Plus Club if people really like the shows and want to listen to more shows.
Okay.
And on that Plus Club, I do a conspiracy show. So I hear some kind of out there conspiracies. And I think there are places like the JFK assassination, for example, where conspiracies make perfect sense. But I think sometimes, excuse me, the simplest explanation is the best one.
I would agree with that. It usually is. And so you do a conspiracy show as well?
Yeah, on my Plus Club. I should say, kind of explain this to folks. I have two websites. My main website is jimherold.com. That's where you can get my free newsletter. Please sign up. You can get my free podcasts. There's usually 20 to 30 podcasts on there that you can listen to 24/7 anytime you want for free. But in addition, I have older shows, archive shows, 90 Days and Older, plus exclusive shows that I do for my Plus Club over at jimhill.net. Now, that's one of those things where my recommendation is check out the free stuff. If you like the free stuff, there's a lot there. Listen to that. And if you really dig it, go over and check out jimhill.net. But jimhill.com is the starting place for everything. But one of the shows I do is a conspiracy show. And one of the things that got me very interested in that topic is something like the JFK assassination. Now, I think that's a case where there's a lot of weird stuff that happened before and after that makes me think there was more to it than we were ever led to believe. So in cases like that, I think, you know, there's a post out there on BuzzFeed or something, you know, 30 conspiracy, I forget the number, but 30 conspiracy theories that turned out to be right. And just because it's a conspiracy theory does not mean it's crazy.
Right.
But just because something happened doesn't mean it was a conspiracy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think you got to take it on a case-by-case basis. But the JFK assassination, I've probably done five shows on that
okay.
in the last 3 years. That's one that fascinates me because I think that's definitely something. At the very least, there were a lot of facts covered up. At the worst, it's a coup d'etat.
Yeah, so that'd be another interesting thing to look at, the conspiracy show. And yeah, and the JFK thing, yeah, you did five shows and you could probably do 20 more.
Oh, yeah, it never ends. I mean, the amount of books and so off of about the JFK assassination alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's everyone, you know, there's so many theories. I mean, there's a theory that was Oswald. There was a theory that it was a Frenchman. Some French assassin. There was a theory that it was a mafia hitman in a storm drain. There was a theory that it was one of the Secret Service agents who did it by accident.
Mm-hmm.
There's a theory that Johnson was behind it. There's a theory that the mafia is behind it. There's a theory that the military industrial complex is behind it. There's a theory that the Cubans were behind it. There's a theory that the Soviets were behind it. And we're just getting started.
And it seems like everyone that brings up these conspiracies, they have so much information that almost any of them are believable.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying a little bit about before, about having more questions than answers. And I certainly would, I would extend that to the JFK assassination. I think that's one where, and I even had somebody on who kind of pointed towards Nixon, you know, as a possibility.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It just goes on and on and on and on.
It does. But, it always stays interesting.
We do our best.
I'll go back to your interviews. Just a general question on that. Have you ever had a guest on, something strange happened during the interview?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay.
And actually, it just happened this last week. This is the first time I've disclosed this. And I still don't know what it was. So my wife and I both work at home, and her job, she has a part-time job, but she does via computer, and I obviously do my job doing this. And she had left for the afternoon to go pick up our children from school. And there was nobody in the house. We have a pet dog, but she took the pet dog for a ride. There's nobody in the house. I wasn't quite sure if she had gone or not because sometimes the kids have late dismissal or things. So, but I had thought, it was my general sense that she had gone. I thought, well, anyway, I'm doing this show on phone calls from the dead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I ought to tell this on my shows, too. And my room where I do my shows is directly below my oldest daughter's bedroom.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I hear somebody walking. And you know how you're in a house, and if somebody's walking directly above your head, you can hear them?
Yes.
And I was interviewing the gentleman, and he was a great guest. It's a fascinating topic because it's something that not a lot of people have done things on. And, you know, he has his master's degree going for his PhD. So he's a serious, serious academic guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about this phenomena. And about 20 minutes into the podcast, I hear this walking above my head. And I'm still paying attention to what he's saying. But I text my wife and I say, are you still here? She doesn't answer back. So I finish up the podcast, because usually my podcasts run 30 to 40 minutes.
Okay.
And I have to admit, the rest of the podcast, I was distracted. Now, I think I hid that pretty well, but I was distracted. So anyway, I get a hold of her, and I'm looking around the house, and she's like, she's not here. Mm-hmm. And then I ask her what time she left, and she's like, I left at 2 o'clock, which I think this probably happened at about 2:20, 2:15, something like that.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, either there's somebody in our house or there's something in our house. Because I know I heard somebody walking
right
in the room above me. Now people, you know, a lot of times will hear, for example, my campfire show, which is, I know you said you did a show similar to this a couple of episodes. Since 2009, I've been doing a show called Jim Harold's Campfire, where people call in with their true ghost stories and true supernatural stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my books are based on. And a lot of times they'll be like, a lot of times people will call in on Skype and things, and there'll be little audio things, and automatically the listeners will say, ah, there must have been EVP, because I heard like a, you know, different noise in the background. I said, no, that was actually the static from traffic, you know.
Right.
So I was trying to give people a plausible explanation.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, on this one, I can't give anybody a plausible explanation. I racked my brain. I thought maybe it was the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was something weird. I thought was particularly weird because it was talking about phone calls from the dead. Maybe I had some kind of after-death communication. Maybe somebody was trying to get a message to me.
I mean, I can't think of what else it could be, and it's peculiar.
Unless we have, like, a vagrant living in our house, which yeah. would not be good.
He thought everybody had left the house.
Yeah.
He's going to get something to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did the microphone pick up any footsteps or anything?
No.
Didn't?
No. Okay. I have a really nice broadcast microphone, so it's exceptionally good at filtering out sound.
Okay. Yeah, wow. And I wonder what that was.
That's... Yeah, and I mean, I've had things that have happened. In my book, I tell a story about my wife who saw her mom was very – well, my wife's Catholic, and her mom was very Catholic, specifically, very attached to the idea of the Virgin Mary. I won't go into the whole story, but basically what happened was my mother-in-law was terminally ill. And this was back in 2001. So this is way before my podcasting career.
Okay.
I don't even think podcasts were invented at the time. And anyway, she had come home for hospice, my mother-in-law, and they lived maybe 10 minutes away. And we had thought that she had a little bit of time left, maybe a few weeks, something like that. So that particular night, my wife came home, and my mother-in-law kind of shooed her away. That night, my wife woke up, looked over my shoulder. I was not awake. I was dead to the world. And saw the Virgin Mary standing there for about 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And she fell back asleep. 30 minutes later, she got a call from my father-in-law that my mother-in-law had passed.
Wow.
So I got to tell you, I believe these things happen. I believe these things happen.
Yep.
And I don't know the explanation for them. I don't know what it is, but I do believe that these things happen. If folks want to check out the campfire, they can do that. Jim Harold's Campfire, the podcast over at jimharold.com. Of course, it's on iTunes. I've got a Roku channel, if you know those little boxes you plug into
yes.
your TV. Also, there's two books, Jim Harold's Campfire 1 and Campfire 2. Number 2 is available for only $2.99 on the Kindle, $2.99. So I think that that's a pretty good buy for a 250-page book, and it's got 5 stars with over 120 reviews, and as you said earlier, it had been a bestseller in the supernatural category for several weeks in the fall, and has popped back up there a couple times this year, and we're coming out with book 3 in the late summer, so... If folks want to check that out, they can go over to Amazon.com and look up Jim Harold, J-I-N-H-A-R-L-L-D.
Well, Jim, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I think we covered a lot. Yeah, we got into a conspiracy theory. We got a couple of ghost stories out there. I think the show came out well. I think my listeners will enjoy it. Just want to thank you again for coming on to the Sambo Slim podcast.
Oh, Sambo, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and happy podcasting.
Okay, same to you, Jim. Uh-huh.
What's a superhero to a villain? To a wealthy man, what is a million? What's Vegas without lust? What's the limelight without a little dust? What's pain without sacrifice? Is love really worth the fight? What is ambition if you don't feel it? When you look up, do you see no ceilings? I'm in a battle with myself, trying to fight the tears, 'cause I've kept them inside for so many years. I hear my angels sing, I hear my girl complain. For the fame, I see the sacrifices I've made. In my city, I've seen so many shattered dreams, broken hearts and promises 'cause of reality. Until I looked in the mirror, I never knew me, but never had time 'cause the crowd was calling me. But hey,